بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters continuing the theme the discussion on repentance or tawbah which means in essence turning back to Allah and in particular istighfar asking Allah for forgiveness, which is one of the essential actions of tawbah. We begin with the verse of the Holy Quran where Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin walladhina idha fa'alu fahishatan aw zalamu anfusahum dhakarullaha fastaghfiru lidhunubihim وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ And Allah loves the virtuous, the muhsineen, the ones who always do acts of kindness, and those who, when they commit an indecent act or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And those who do not persist in what they have committed while they know. And yesterday we were talking about a hadith by Imam Ali alayhi salam about somebody who uttered the word Astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness of Allah. When the Imam upbraided that man, from the point of view of that man not knowing exactly what he was talking about, that the word astaghfirullah is something profound. And the Imam responded, he said, may your mother be bereaved of you, meaning may your, be ashamed of yourself. This is what it would mean, be ashamed of yourself. Do you know what istighfar is? Do you know what asking for forgiveness is? He said, asking for forgiveness, istighfar, is a level of the highest heaven. It's one of the levels of the highest heaven. And it occurs, and its name occurs or is realized on six meanings. The first of which was regret for what had passed. The second is the determination to abandon going back to it forever. The third is that you give the creation its rights so that you, that when you meet Allah the Glorious, you will do so with a clean slate, with them not having something against you. The fourth, that you should undertake all your obligations that you had neglected, thus giving them their rights. And we talked at length about that yesterday. And we are now going on to the fifth. Al-khamisu an ya'mida ila lahmi alladhi nabata ala suht fanudhibahu bil ahzan hatta tulsiqa al-jildal bil azm. وَيَنْشَأَ بَيْنَهُمَا لَحْمٌ جَدِيدٌ He says, fifth, is that with the flesh that has grown on the forbidden, you should undertake to dissolve it, to dissolve that flesh with sorrows until the skin clings to the bone and generate a new flesh between them. Now this is very metaphorical. What he says, what he's talking about is he's talking about those types of sins as we mentioned before yesterday or and day before. Those types of sins upon which our very personality establishes a strong relationship to. Where that sin, as it were, sticks to that personality. So when that person, for example, has to describe himself, he describes himself according to that particular sin. I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm a fornicator, I'm a this or I'm a that. That type of sin. That sin on which, in terms of this particular part of the hadith, one's flesh has grown on it. One has depended upon that particular act to define one's life. That you might have spent your whole life as a business person cheating people. Or you might have spent your whole life as a policeman being unjust to people and so forth. You spend your whole life lying to people and so on. Till your very personality becomes very much ingrained by that particular sin. And this is what he's talking about, starving the flesh that has grown on that body. And you dissolve that flesh with the water of your tears, with the water of your sorrow for that particular sin. That you constantly remember that particular sinful nature or that particular sinful tendency that you have. And you hate it. I know one person, for example, one of the things they did to quit smoking was to always have a little vase or a little glass of water where after they smoked a cigarette, they would drop the cigarette in that water and let that water and the cigarette collect until it had such a bad smell that it turned them off it. And always, anytime he picked up a cigarette, he would remember the awful smell and the awful look of that thing in that glass, which kept him away from it. This is what the imam is saying here. The imam is saying this as a way of dealing with your sins, as a way of eradicating that particular sin in yourself. And he says, Nabata ala suht. Suht doesn't mean just the forbidden. Suht means that activity that you do that is based upon that flaw in character that you exist upon. You know, so for example, in some translations would call suht ill-gotten gains. You see, because when we do sin, we don't just do sin just for the hell of it. We do sin because there is a certain reward in it. We do sin because there's a certain investment we have in it that gives us some kind of perceived advantage in life. And so you have to now sever yourself from that. And this requires a kind of a starvation. It requires a suffering. When it was easy for you to lie your way through something, now you have to tell the truth to something, you might end up losing rather than gaining something in the dunya. But this is like losing that flesh upon oneself. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa sadisu an tudhik al jisma ila ta'ati kama azaktahu halawat al ma'siyah. And sixthly, to make the body savor the pain of obedience as you made it taste the sweetness of disobedience. That in disobedience, in the beginning of disobedience, when you start off being obedient, when you start off reforming yourself, it is something painful. A drug addict can tell you something like that. You know, a drug addict, when they are getting off their drugs, it is one of the most painful, most stressful processes that person could undergo. A person who is trying to change themselves from bad to good, it's not something easy. It is something painful. And you have to savor that pain. You have to savor that pain just as much as you had savored the sweetness of the evil deeds that you had been doing. This is what the imam is talking about, the process by which you perfect yourself in sin. And remember, this is true for all of us, that all of us have some negative tendency or tendencies, some orientation by which we have survived, by which we have built our lives, by which we have constructed our identities. But at the same time, we know that this particular tendency and these particular actions are actions that we are not proud of and actions that we are not happy with. And as such, we have to separate ourselves from them in this particular way. And in a sense, it's a kind of a violence. When you're talking about dissolving the flesh on your bones, and when you're talking about savoring the pain, you know, this is something that requires a lot of work and requires us to go through a lot of pain, but in the end, we will be victorious. And that pain will turn into the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of a good character. So pain is involved. And for many of us, we can't really handle the pain. For many of us, sometimes we think that we are so bad that we are past saving. And when we think like this, this is something very, very awful indeed. And in fact, it is considered to be one of the greater sins, one of the mortal sins in Islam, to despair of the mercy of Allah. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ. And do not despair of Allah's mercy. Indeed, no one despairs of Allah's mercy except those who do not believe, except the unbelieving people. So, a person who despairs in the mercy of Allah, that person is an unbeliever. The Quran is saying, why is this person an unbeliever? This person is an unbeliever because that person is actually despairing or denying some of the fundamental names of Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most merciful. They're denying the name of Allah Al-Hakim, the most wise. They're denying these names of Allah, and as such they are becoming unbelievers. It is also because despair in Allah leads to utter hopelessness in Allah's mercy. And when one is despairing of Allah's mercy, one is now encouraged then to pursue sins and wrong deeds without any kind of barrier. Because if you despair of Allah's mercy, then you say to yourself, well, I might as well, quote unquote, enjoy myself in this world because, you know, I have a lifetime or a long time in hell to wait. It is something that goes against the real nature of a human being. That's another aspect of despair. Islam detests human beings going below themselves. This is why Islam detests alcohol so much. Because when a person drinks alcohol and gets drunk, that person loses control over their intellect. And it is the intellect that is the only thing that separates us from an animal. And so because of this fact that it takes us below our human nature and thus undermines the wisdom of creation, Islam hates that thing. Despair is also something like this. Because the human race itself has survived on the basis of hope. That whenever we encounter a problem in life that we have not encountered or so far we have not been able to solve, it is only hope in the solution of that problem that keeps us going on. It is only hope. In medicine, it is the hope for a cure. In transportation, it is hope in arriving at a quicker time at one's location. In knowledge, it is hope in gaining that knowledge in the face of ignorance. So hope is essential to the human condition, and even more so essential to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with calamities that we bring upon ourselves, such as doing sin. So when we despair, we are actually going below our human self. We go below our human nature. And indeed, suffering is something that is very, very important in the development of the soul, suffering. Indeed, when we look at, for example, things like, when we look at every aspect of our lives, where we want to improve, where we want to progress, we suffer. If you want to go to the gym to work out, you know, you gotta, no pain, no gain. If you want to be a professional and you go to university to study, you have to impose upon yourself restrictions in order for you to get ahead. In everything that we do, we have to fight for it. And this is what makes us a human being. Similarly, with respect to religion, we are not those people who say that because we believe in Allah and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi that we will be saved. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. We are not those people because we know we have to work for it. We know we have to suffer for it. We know we have to strive for it. We believe our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ali was the best of all the prophets. And he says, I suffered more than any one of them because he was the best. And we know that in religion itself is, in all cases, whether it be Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever religion we're talking about, religion is something that exalts suffering as a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only in this time where we are devoid from religion, we hear people who undermine religion talking about killing people who are suffering in order to, quote unquote, give back God his gift of life. Like if you had the responsibility or even the status to give God back life that he gave to somebody. It is only in a society like this one that is living in the darkness of religion that they think suffering is something cruel. But in fact, suffering is a means towards getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Imam Baqir, alayhi salam, mentioning a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, said, paradise is surrounded by trials and patience. Paradise is surrounded by trials, by suffering and patience. So whoever endures trials in this world will enter into paradise. And he said, hell is surrounded by pleasures and desires. Thus, whoever allows himself its pleasures and desires will enter the fire. And this is true. When we look at, for example, people who are starving in parts of the third world, when we look at people who are being bombed out of existence, and we look at these people and we see their calmness in poverty, we see their enduring faith in God despite the calamities that follow them, we admire them, because I tell you something, somebody from this environment would not last 1 second in that particular environment, because they won't wait for a bomb to destroy them. They will kill themselves because they cannot handle that particular excruciating aspect of existence. So humanity truly is not measured by how many cars you have in a driveway or how many doctors you have per 1,000 of the population or how many square miles of asphalt you have on your street. Humanity is measured by the dignity that you have when you are faced with nothing. It is measured by the dignity that you have when you are faced with threats to your existence. It is measured by the dignity we have when you are faced with poverty and starvation. And at the same time, you still have faith in Allah. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجَوْءِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشَّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدِينَ مُهْتَدُونَ. Allah says, we will surely test you. We will surely test you with a measure of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits, and give good news to those who are patient, those who, when affliction visits them, say, indeed, we belong to Allah and to him do we return. It is they who receive the blessings of their Lord and his mercy, and it is they who are rightly guided. And this verse doesn't just talk about the human condition, that we are all faced with some level of fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of loss, fear of not being there for our kids. All of us must face this. Or hunger, meaning the being deprived of things that you want, and loss of wealth and lives. But it talks about also, especially the mu'mineen, especially those people who believe, that they will have a special trial. They will have a special trial. They will suffer a little more than everybody else. Because it is this suffering, it brings a gap between you and this life. That those people who are suffering in this world, when death comes, they welcome it. They love it because they know it is freedom from the suffering of this world. And it's those people who, when they have too much, they are afraid to lose their lives. They cut their heads off and put it in cryogenic liquids with the hope of being revived so they can enjoy their wealth one more time. So this suffering and these trials, brothers and sisters, you have to expect. Indeed, the great Urafa, when they found life too easy, when a day came and they found everything was going too fine, they used to ask Allah, "Oh Allah, why have you not looked at me? Why have you forgotten me? What have I done for you not to give me some trouble?" This is how they used to be. This month of Ramadan is teaching us how to be like this. This month of Ramadan, where we voluntarily fast and we voluntarily impose a difficulty in life in these long days, where we are walking around thirsty and hungry and trying to speak good and to stay away from speaking bad and trying to do good instead of impulsively doing bad. This month of Ramadan is an example of how we should deal with suffering, how we should embrace it, how we should find liberation in it, how we should find salvation in it. Because Islam is a dynamic religion. When we're talking about the sabirin, those people who are patient, in fact, I think the English translation patient is not really a good translation, because patience gives you the idea of just sitting there and waiting for things to change, sitting there and tolerating something. I would rather call it forbearance, because forbearance is something dynamic. It is something dynamic. So you might be hungry. You might be deprived. But while you tolerate it, you are also fighting to change that deprivation. This is what it means. While you accept this suffering as a gift from God, at the same time, it is your responsibility to try to alleviate it. And this is what this suffering and this forbearance is. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't know if I can say all of this in Farsi. Chunki as dilam masalan cheese man dilam as dilam khali kardam. Amma khalasin aske ranch bordan ye cheesy too ragged deen hast. Nimitunim deen dar beshim. Nimitun mutadayin beshim. Bidune ranch bordan. ذات این دنیا اینه هم برای مسلمانان هم برای غیر مسلمانان پس فقدان آرزو در عنوان در اسلام چیزی که حرام است گناه کبیره است چرا به خاطر این که طبق انسانیت انسان نیست اسلام خیلی تنفر انسانی یا کاری که انسانیت ما پایین میفته انسانیت ما از بین میبره پس مثلا شراب خوردن چیزی مکروه حرام است تو اسلام به خاطر این که مست شدن یعنی از بین بردن عقل و بین بردن عقل یعنی انسان حیوان می شود نداشتن آرزو، به خاطر اینکه اگر ما به اوضاع انسان نگاه میکنیم، خود آرزو چیزی است که باعث پیشرفت بودن انسان، چون که با هر مشکلی که برخورد میکنیم با آرزو پیروزی بر این اشکال ما جلو میرویم. پس چه بسا در اسلام که روحانیت چیزی بالاتر از همه است. پس به خاطر آن خداوند به مؤمنین مشکلات میسازد که یک روح ما تقویت پیدا میکنه و دوم چسبیدن ما به دنیا شلتر میشود، جلوتر میشود. السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.